Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And again, you're listening to Talk Straight on this Tuesday. Wow, March 22nd, 2022. Yet again, we find ourselves progressing with time. Yes, indeed. And I want to welcome you to give me a call here, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call right here, live in the podcast studio on Blog Talk Radio. Feel free to share your question or comments, because guess what? It's open mic night. And this is where we turn the floor over to our listening audience for discussion. So for about the next hour and a half or so, we're going to open ourselves up to your conversations, your topics. We'll do our best to respond to them as adequately as we can. If I don't have an answer for you, I'll tell you that. But I will promise that we'll go and try to seek out the information and bring it back at the appropriate time. All right? So tonight is open mic. Open mic. If you're listening to us here, you're following us on Blog Talk Radio, feel free. Our live stream tonight, it's a little inclement weather, believe it or not, in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where we hail from. And I'm not sure if that's it, but we had a little issue with our live stream tonight with Facebook. So hopefully we can get back to it. I've just given up on it for tonight, but next week we'll do everything we can to find some kind of way to bring that for our listening audience on Facebook. But I hope they got the promo and they have followed us to blogtalkradio.com. In fact, that is blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. We'll wait your conversation. And while we're waiting, we'll just keep the dialogue going here. You know, this is March the 22nd, 2022. And this is another year we progressed across the nation. And many people are not sure if we're out of the COVID scenario or crisis. It's interesting that I still see and hear individuals with great concern. Others are optimistic that we're over it and that now we're at a point where we can manage things a little bit better. I would certainly encourage everyone to look out for your elderly loved ones. We should have been doing that anyway, right? And look out for your friends and your families and your neighbors and encourage them to live, eat healthy, we should have been doing that anyway, right? Encourage our young people to embrace healthy life habits. You understand what I'm saying? Now, yes, you have the right to do what you want to in America. But for any of us, there are consequences associated with our actions. That is a natural fact. Newton says in his law of gravity that whatever goes up, it's got to come down. Are you with me? You can step out there. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody's saying you can't step out there and engage in an activity or behavior. But, beloved, with it comes a consequence. For every action, there is an equal reaction. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? 657-383-0944. It's Talk Straight, and it's open mic. So I'm looking to hear from you. Hopefully we'll hear from some of our regular callers that will join us tonight and share in this discussion. We had some pretty good conversations. Last week we talked a lot about, last couple of episodes, we talked a good deal about issues related to education and family and young people and the importance on focusing on what is the content material or the subject matter that in the process of that involves teaching and learning, that's what education is as a practice, what is the subject matter that we should and could focus on? Now, what happens too often is hotbed, contentious, current events cause people to become emotionally stirred and to cause them to become distracted from real substantive conversations about the changes we could make, irregardless to your ethnic orientation, irregardless to you being a male or female, irregardless to being you having a particular political bent or persuasion. There are things we can do. I recently had a conversation with a gentleman in reference to mental health issues, for instance. And that's a very sensitive issue because right now there are no laws that allow family members who see their loved ones suffering with either diagnosed or undiagnosed mental health issues, such as mild or moderate or severe depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, right? They see them struggling with those issues. And in fact, we see that a lot is the factor in engagement with law enforcement, particularly in urban American cities, neighborhoods, families. But the loved one has no recourse because they cannot make their loved one get the help, the professional help, the treatment that they need. Now, the only time something happens is when they either hurt themselves or someone else. And y'all know at that point it's a little late, right? You're sitting there watching your loved one wither away, and it's very little you seem to be able to do. But here's the thing. We talk about laws and things of that nature. There is something I'm convinced that we, again, there we go with we, Republicans, Democrats, male, female, the church, the unchurch, whoever you are, that we can do to put our heads together to come up with good rules and regulations, even legislation that will help family members reasonably respond to their loved ones who are facing these mental health issues. I don't have all the answers. Let me say that right now. But I do believe that if we have direct, honest dialogue together, we can come up with the answer. And we can put that in some form of legislative process that will be very, very supportive and responsive to these needs. Just something. Just one thing. Just one thing. Here we are in March, and we're moving forward toward the fourth month of the year, you know, and maybe some New Year's resolutions were made. I don't know. But, you know, it's up to you to determine where you're going to be with them. And at the end of the day, Sometimes time gets away from us before we know it. We ask ourselves, man, where did the time go? Have I done all that my hands were assigned to do? And then we get old to the point where we start reflecting and looking back. Some people get in a hurry then to try to make the difference that they dreamed of for years because they're afraid I have less time. You understand what I'm saying? Than I've had before. And so what are you saying, Doctor? What are you saying? I'm simply saying that there are some things we can do. And if we are honest, if we're true with ourselves, we'd get them done. We'd get them done. And we wouldn't make excuses for how we continue to watch these things right in front of us, unfolding our eye in front of us, and we still get nowhere. See? And I said we, because I'm talking about all of us. That's why I said we. But you know what? It's open mic night, 657-383-0944. Y'all give me a call. Come on, give me a call. We're going to keep the phone, the lines open here, and we're going to try to make this thing work here. We're trying to make this thing work here. I want to yield the floor to the listening audience tonight. Again, I regret that we didn't have our live stream. Unfortunately, we got to work on that and figure out the deal that sometimes Facebook, for whatever, is not very friendly or useful to us, helpful to us. But I'm not going to beat Facebook up too bad tonight. we'll work on it. Next week, and my hope is that we'll be able to resume our live stream with our next episode. But you can call me tonight, 657-383-0944. And again, it's open mic. What that means is that I'm going to stand down and take your questions, your comments, your conversation, and try to hold some wholesome dialogue with you across this national platform here called Talk Straight. All right? I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dyer, in case you just joined us. And again, you're listening to Talk Straight. And, you know, and we are opening the floor to you. The number you can call again is 657-383-0944. And we'd be happy to entertain your questions, your comments, your thoughts about what's going on today. I see that we have in the Supreme Court or in Congress, hearings with Sister Brown, Sister Ketanji Brown Jackson, young lady who's worked herself to a point and have established herself. There are different people who have views about this, and a lot of times it's become more political than useful, I think. And but, you know, perhaps you want to make reference to that. I'll be happy to entertain conversation there. I'll give us a call. Of course, we've been looking and witnessing what's happening in Europe, where Vladimir Putin is obviously sending a serious message about his stronghold or desired stronghold on Ukraine and the region there. A lot of conversations happening and, you know, people are doing various things. But nonetheless, those are some other things that are in our gas prices, inflation, you know, a lot is going on in America. And again, it's easy for us to be mad and take sides and take corners and holler at one, holler about one another about these things. You know, but it's more difficult for us to be honest and to stand down and truly listen to even people we have a difference of opinion with. You know, some people are not comfortable with themselves, see, and that's why it's hard for them to listen to anybody else because they're just not comfortable with themselves. All right? So we're listening to, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We did not present a topic tonight because, as I said earlier, this is our open mic session and format where we'll kind of let you guide the conversation. But until someone calls, what we'll do is we'll go to a little commercial break here. And some of you who've been following us may know that we've been promoting our ideal of a school for at-risk males based in Nashville, Tennessee, that we've organized it and we've began to establish some support for. And right around the time we were having the momentum, COVID shutdowns came. As you can imagine, that affected a lot of things. It never took the vision, though. Never took the vision. But after this commercial break, we're going to bring you back and we'll open up the phone at 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We'll see you on the other end. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville-Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
And you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery. It's open mic night. What you want to talk about? A caller from Jacksonville, Florida is on with us. Welcome. How are you, ma'am?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. Well, guess what? I'm shutting my mouth somewhat.
You shut your mouth.
If we turn the floor over to a listener, it's our open mic night. Did you have something in particular? I just highlighted some things that we, you know, just to open up some discussion, mental health issues. What can we do? What can we do as family, as a community, as a nation, as states, you know, to help individuals with severe mental health issues? I talked about the economic condition. We talked a little bit about some of the social issues that we've been addressing around here and things of that nature. But let me be quiet. Is there something, that some current event or something you'd like to talk about tonight?
Well, those are all very important things to talk about. But since mental illness seems like it's picking up quite considerably, large amounts of people are suffering from severe mental illness. And maybe it's partly because we are not checking in on people as much, and people are kind of doing the hands-off approach more nowadays. You know, it used to be back in the days where families even were closer, so there seemed to be more support, you know, to help pull somebody out of like a total loss of control to where they can't come back. Sometimes all it takes for someone is to have a nervous breakdown and not recoup, and then they're almost forever lost, you know. So I just think that's important. I mean, I know it's frightening and scary, but however we can try to pitch in and help without harming ourselves, we should at least try to.
Absolutely. There's one cross-reference to what you're saying. In fact, homelessness is a major driving factor, right, to some of the issues that we're talking about. And there are correlations to the breakdown in families, right, and the natural support base, and those individuals not having that support and then becoming homeless because they're incapable of providing for themselves, you know, and maintaining a quality life. But there are good people who lost jobs, and you know what I mean?
I mean,
we talked about them late within the last two or three years who faced them things. But one thing I mentioned is that across the country, generally speaking, the laws are such that state by state, there's very little family members can do to see to it that their loved ones get the treatment. You know what I mean? The professional help. And sadly, it's not until they do something drastic to either hurt someone else or themselves that even law enforcement gets involved, and it becomes real nasty. What do you think about that? Should the law allow families to become conservatives or something? I don't know. What do you think? What's your thought?
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, the government really needs to get a hold, and I'm meaning government as far as legislature, and like you were mentioning, become, you know, somebody should be responsible for them since they're incapacitated to a certain extent mentally. So somebody should be able to speak for them. Maybe somebody can help govern their monies even, or make sure that, you know, if they have a monthly check or some, and they have, you know, somebody's paying their bills, somebody's helping them to get groceries, to keep them from being on the street.
Right.
And to keep them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're making a great point.
From
you're making a great point.
And spilling over onto other people. But, yeah, go ahead.
No. I didn't mean that. I was just explaining. You're hitting on some real good stuff. You were just saying someone needs to control their monies, keep them from being overbearing, you know what I mean, to others.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that, Mama. Are you Mama D? You're not Mama D, are you? No.
No, that's 8112.
You ain't Mama D. Here's a problem with that. We all, when we become adults, have constitutional rights.
Yeah.
To our own conscience, you understand, and will. So with that being said, we tread a really slippery slope when we talk about that. By even a family member being able to stop those 14th Amendment rights, you understand what I'm saying? The First Amendment. And you see what I mean?
Well, but, and that's what I'm trying to say is before I get to that point,
okay,
to where they're in denial for one that they have a problem, even though you went to the supermarket and because somebody got in front of you in line, you had a big commotion where there was a fight and you know things like
that people are deeming.
Normal. That's not normal behavior. Or you start shooting at somebody on the highway because they cut you off. Or you know those kind of things. To me, is happening more and more nowadays, and it's just going unrecognized. That is not normal, and obviously something mentally is going on to where when you become frustrated, you act out violently.
And you're out of control.
And
you're just
yeah, and you are a danger to yourself and to others then.
But it's too late.
So
I mean, yeah, yeah.
No, it's not too late. So, okay, maybe you had the incident at the store and a family member knew about it. Somebody needs to be talking to you about that.
I see what you're saying. I see. Okay, so would that be a trigger for intervention, family intervention?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, what if I'm just having a bad day now?
Then again, that helps me because I talk to my family. I tell them when I'm having and I had to get nasty with this woman. And yeah, that helps when somebody can help you and sit and sort through your feelings and emotions to help you recognize, hey, that was really out of pocket. That is not normal. And I don't need to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, when people can help pull people back in.
Okay. Now, could that just be that this is not my norm and I'm just having a bad time? I don't need you to start moving towards taking my rights away from me now because I'm
but,
having a rough time.
So to answer your question, when you keep having those bad days on a continual, consistent basis to where it becomes a part of your standard and a part of your life, then somebody needs to be concerned because you're not.
I see.
Do you see how slowly but surely you go all over the edge? The next thing you know, you done shot somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or, you know, this is a real case where when I was pastoring, the gentleman went to his father-in-law's house, and he had been there several times causing ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to his wife. And this time he snapped, and he put – he took gasoline with him and doused father-in-law, caught him a fire, and he ultimately died from that. You know, and the father-in-law didn't want to hurt him. The father-in-law could have shot him. In fact, he threatened to shoot him several times.
Right.
But that was his daughter's husband and the father of his grandchildren. You see what I mean? That's how
close. Yeah, but could somebody have been talking to him?
They had.
Before it got to that?
Yep, they had, and he had been diagnosed and was receiving some treatment, some medication, but was not complying with it. See what I mean? And and who can make him take the medicine? Should the family be able to make him take the medicine?
No, nobody honestly can, but at least, again, and maybe that was his story, maybe for some other people that they'll be coachable. They'll be willing to try to get help. They'll, you know what I'm saying? And in that case, to where nobody can tell her, then the law should be involved. I'm sorry. It's too many innocent people dying behind the hands and the excuse or reason of mental health issues.
been there, and I got, this is Pastor Waller joining us here. Welcome, Pastor. How you doing, sir? Pastor Waller? Can you hear us, Pastor Waller? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on there, but I see him in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Pastor Waller.
How you doing, sir?
Hey there. Right. How you doing?
All right.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Pastor, it's open mic tonight, and we were really just talking about mental illness and families not being able to do enough to help their loved ones before they get caught up in the streets and in conditions and circumstances that force them off into being negative engagement with law enforcement and things of that nature, being confined. And I'm as a pastor, 3072 was making a great point that, and this was my word, I don't want to put it in her mouth, there should be some trigger or some point where we say, okay, my loved one has gone too far, and now I need to intervene because they're not able to do it for themselves. Do you think, Pastor, that that's overstepping the bound of individual freedoms and rights?
You say individual freedom and rights?
Rights to do what you want. Even though yes, they're showing some symptoms of being mentally ill or out of control, erratic, dangerous, but do they, at what point did they write in and at least family members be able to step in before the police have to be called? You understand what I'm asking?
I wanted to get a better perspective on how you said something about do they have rights. And you said family members stepping in before they call the law, you say?
Right. Or more importantly, what 72 was talking about is how when you see repeated behavior, for instance, your loved one, say it's my brother, who every time we look up, he's in a fight with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
One person after the other, and it gets nasty. Clearly, something is wrong with him. What you say?
Yeah,
you agree with
that? Say that.
Something is, right. And she was saying that at some point, a family member, because everybody ain't going to let you just talk crazy to them and cut up. You understand what I mean? It can get real ugly and I mean, get real serious out there. And she was making the point that, why don't you reiterate that, 72? So I don't want to have to.
Just saying, Pastor Waller, how, you see all these news stories and incidents to where people are becoming more and more violent. And I think the reason is because there are some underlying mental health issues that nobody has addressed.
Sure.
And we were just talking about, a person, let's say every family gathering is some kind of big commotion. He done cursed this person out. He done got into a fight with Cousin Jim. He done burned somebody else's house up. He's always doing something.
Yeah.
Do you just keep overlooking that, or should everybody maybe try to counsel him and let him know that it's not normal? And do you need help? What can we do to help? Maybe you need to go get some counseling. Something needs to happen. But I was saying we can't just keep turning a deaf ear and a blind eye like things is normal. I think what's contributed to society just becoming such a vicious, vile place now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, very good, very good point. Do you continue to look basically the other way, as if it's not happening, basically, one of those things.
And it's teaching the children to become that way. This is how you get people's attention. This is how you communicate. This is how I prove I'm a man or I'm a woman. I fight.
That acceptable behavior. In other words, it's being accepted when it's really not good to do that. And should a family member step in or a family member step in, try to bring it to the table and say, look, this is just something that's causing a lot of friction with family members and friends and people that, as a whole. So it's automatically when they go outside the family and, things like that happen, then you're going to have that mindset of the thought of, well, I'm pretty sure he started it, because of what you've been experiencing with the family. And it actually happens.
Well, and then, Pastor Waller, are we part of we part of the problem of it being started too by just never saying nothing about it to them or talking to them or trying to help them?
Yes, I would say that, you know, you become part of the problem, because if it's not part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. For instance, this is something that happened last night. You know, a guy, he fits that description that you're talking about right now. And, you know, a friend of mine passed, and they was over there outside. People were coming, you know, people come to the family's home. And you know, it's something about the thought of knowing that he made mention himself, said that a family member had something going, and they didn't want him to come by there because he was doing things.
And his
behavior last night was that he, I think he had started back to drinking. He had stopped for a long time, from what I heard him say. And then now, and he got money in his pocket, and he's giving his money out and things, just doing things, you know. And so, and then talking very, very loud, but not meaning no harm. I mean, people still know him. And I'm just saying that to say, just remind me of what you were talking about. So what do you do to step up and to get it resolved? Because other than that, somebody can get really, really, really hurt because of that.
Because in that situation,
you can be a part of the problem or the solution. So I think the family member of this guy who I was talking about from last night, I think they would have accepted him. But because he was acting out like he was doing, they didn't even want him to come to the I think it was a wedding or something, whatever it was.
Right.
It was, they didn't
afraid
want him to be there.
He was gone.
He just wasn't gonna do what's right. Was just talking loud. What it is, whatever it is, they know. We just gotta let him know you're not to come.
I think maybe if somebody would have talked, because I mean, if you're not a drinker, but for those that drink, who haven't had a drunk night where they made a fool out themselves? But I would approach that person on a sober day and let them know what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
Not on a drunk night, but when they were sober and they can hear me, hey, man, you really embarrassed yourself. We were shamed. Man, you can't do that. You know, just talking to people, acting like things aren't happening.
Well, let me ask y'all Come on now. Because so, Pastor, you and 3072 and some other good folks see me out there. I'm just outside of myself. Man. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm outside of myself. And I'm just cutting up and clawing. Is there a point where you all should be able to put your hands on me and lay me down until I get under control? But, Pastor, I mean, y'all know what I'm saying. But you feel what
now
I mean?
With that, you have to know who you're dealing with, Pastor Docker. So if it's somebody that's known, you know, to be extra violent, and he's not going to take that constructive criticism in love.
But that's your.
He's going to look at that as I'm going to get my gun and come back here. You know.
Hold on, 72, that's your loved one now. That's your brother. That's your cousin John, your uncle.
Okay.
Pastor, do we just let him go?
He may think like that.
I know, right?
What you say, Pastor?
Yeah, you got to watch him. You got to watch him, too.
I'm serious.
Yeah, you got to watch him, too, because he's something to come back and do just that, you know, bring forth more harm. So you don't want him have that.
Now, and look, Pastor, here's one of the things that you've heard this. You've been in the ministry a while. You've heard even preachers rationalize that just leave him alone. The Lord will fix it. The Lord knows his heart. We're going to pray for him.
That's a favorite saying I've heard a lot of.
That pray for him. And, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
well, you know what? That's true, though. The Lord will fix them when the Lord get tired and send them on home somewhere.
Or somebody else.
But we talking about,
or he make somebody else
before the Lord have to do that.
Yeah. You know, Pastor, when I first got here, I heard somebody say, Yeah, the Lord going to bless you, and Joe Home going to bless you.
Joe Home. Yeah, Joe Home.
Joe Home. Are they still around now?
See, because Joe, yeah, Joe Home was one of the favorites. You know, Joe Home was one to get most everybody.
Okay.
In the city. Yeah, he was major in the city.
I'm dating myself.
Matter of fact.
I'm dating myself now, Pastor, because that was 35 years ago. I heard that thing. That was around the same time I started about you, man.
Yeah, oh, man. That's something there, brother. That was a favorite saying there, man.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
They put they really put some emphasis on that saying. 7:72. Yes, they did. I'm talking about, they put a few choice words in there to go along with it. It sounded like it matched. Yeah.
I know I came in to go to fist. But that was my real education right there.
And 37-2, and it was very close to Fisk University. You want
it
to,
was.
A minute, one minute and a half, you'd be there.
16th Avenue North.
Yeah,
that's right. You're right there. Mm. So it's enough. It's enough to be able to say, okay, I don't want no part of that.
I don't want to do
none. But I think it's just sad though. Some of these people can be reached if we would stop lying to each other. Like certain stuff is acceptable.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's okay. That's not. I know. I don't. You know. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or, but maybe you can find some way to try to reach them to help them to see themselves. That okay. You got some messed up hearts that need cleaning up. You know. Just especially the older we get, that really irritates me. Somebody in their 40s and 50s out there acting like they're teenagers, or even in their early 20s. You should be beyond that.
Let me jump in there, 72. It's easy for us culturally or subculturally to say that's just the way we do. He all right. Well, you're 40 years old. You shouldn't be behaving like a 15.
That's right.
Something is not normal about that, right?
That's
and if
right.
I love you, I'm going to help. Proverbs 27:17 said, Pastor Waller, iron sharpens iron. I felt something right there.
That's what it said.
But look here, a brother is going to pull his brother's coattail. A sister's going to pull her sister's coattail and tell them the truth, even if it hurts.
Right.
Even if it hurts,
yeah,
that's true. Because that's what's going to set them free. You know, that's what's going to make
it's much better that way.
Yeah.
I tell you, believe it or not, being that we're talking about this tonight, I decided to follow through on it and to follow up on it by way of calling the guy today. Called him today because last night he asked me to follow him so he can, you know, make sure he driving a brand new car.
Okay.
And he had his car running the whole time he was over there to his family's house.
Wow.
And his car, I didn't even know it. He said, my car's up there running in the alley. He said, but I got my keys in my hand and they try to take off and cut off or something, he said. That's what he said. But anyway, so I didn't know he had his car running, but that's what he said. So I guess he had been there about an hour, a little over that. When he asked me would I follow him to make sure that because he had been drinking, I guess. You know, he just didn't feel like he wanted to drive and not have no guide. And so I did follow him, got his number, which I know the brother, you know. I know him and everything, so... He asked me this question. You know, he said, would I help him, you know, find out how to stop drinking? He did ask me that last night.
Yeah.
So I decided to call him today, you know, when he said he got off at 5 o'clock. But I did make a call, and he may not have been at home because he don't have a cell phone, but he do have the phone at home, and that's the number that I called. So maybe he get a chance and call me. And it's amazing that you're talking about this type of thing now. And
I would just keep calling him, Pastor.
Yeah, I'm going to call him again, you know. But I know I'm going to see him again because I got to get back up there to the family's house anyway. It was just raining so much tonight. And when he get in, if he see the number, I'm sure he'll call. And if not, I'll give him a call again. because he's a good brother, though. I said he's not trying to do harm to people. He just like to have fun in his own way. But yet, for his family to tell him that they didn't want him to come to whatever
serious.
It was that they was having, that right there was
serious.
A wedding. I do think it was a wedding.
Yeah.
Did
he hear them? Did he hear them say that?
One second.
Yeah, fairly, yeah,
he
had to.
Guys, give me one second. Give me one second. We'll bring a call in here.
All right.
It's open mic night, guys. It's open mic night. You listen to Talk Straight. We're on with our co-host, Pastor Waller, and our call out of Jacksonville, Florida. And St. Louis is joining us now. We it's open mic, but we've been talking about the challenge of mental illness and how it has become a real problem where even family members can't help their loved ones because of the way the laws are written. So that's where we are in our conversation. Let me go back to you, Pastor, and you in 72, and then we'll give St. Louis an opportunity to weigh in on the discussion there. What were you saying, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, I was just basically saying that he's a good person deep down on the real side, but he's again, realizing that they said that to him, and he just was talking about it last night. And, you know, I didn't even know anything about that. All I knew was that I remember the person who was getting married, just him bringing it up, and I thought about it because I know he came to all those people. And I said, that's amazing, man. And he said, he said they didn't even want him to be there. I said, man, that's tough. So I'll get a chance to talk with him because he did reach out and ask me would I, you know, let him know how to go about. And it's he called it the flip side when he sent me with my hat on. And he showed me how to get over the flip side. Said, yeah, man, I said, I'll show you. Because he know that's what I'm really living and I'm doing it. So that's it.
Well,
okay.
I think, though, for that person to know that is pretty hurtful for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
oh,
it may be hurtful enough for him to want to at least try to do something different. And sometimes that's what it takes.
And to that point, guys, a lot of times the families are not professional psychologists or psychiatrists or anybody like that or counselors. So they don't know how to respond in any other way than tell them, just stay away from us. Stay away from us because we don't want to.
Yes, sir. That's what they did.
So that's a real thing. St. Louis, welcome to our discussion here. And anything you would like to weigh in on that conversation?
Well, what's your topic? I'm a little late.
Well, it's not a topic. It's open mic.
I smell chicken frying and cornbread in the oven and the door is open.
Okay. We're just having a general discussion, and we've been talking for the last 30 minutes or so in general about mental health issues and how, you know, there are a lot of the way the laws are written and families are not able to really help their loved ones who they know are challenged with mental health. Depression, mild depression, or severe, or you know.
What do you mean the way the laws are written? Give me an example.
Well,
I don't know.
So in most states, family members would, for instance, want their loved ones get into combative behaviors. They have drunken spells, excessive drug use, and there's a crossover to the mental health expressions, right? And the loved ones want to put them in a treatment facility. But do you know that person can check themselves out against medical advice if they wanted to? And the law protects them. So not even the family can make them stay there and get the treatment that they desperately know they need and want them to get. They back out on the street and then they have a conflict or a flare with other people. And oftentimes when the law gets involved, law enforcement are not trained. I see some cities and jurisdictions are trying to bring mental health counselors on with them. That may work. That's an interesting experiment. Law enforcement officials, that's not really what they do. They're not trained to do that. And so it becomes a bigger problem. That's what I mean by that, St. Louis.
Well, I can make some comments, but
okay.
I won't make no comments on that because I never experienced that.
I see. Perhaps on a distant level, you've seen it in the news. You've seen, I'll give one case in point. There was a lady here in Nashville a few years ago. Pastor, you may remember this. She came out of the house with a knife. And when the police came on the scene, either she stabbed the police. It was a female police officer. I believe she was stabbed or shot by this woman. You remember that, Pastor, over in North Nashville?
Yeah, I heard about that, too.
And the late, the police officer to this day is paralyzed. And the they
so you
wind
mean
up
to tell me?
Go ahead.
You mean to tell me that the police officer didn't shoot the woman and she let him come up on her with the knife?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Now here's the thing I want to ask about that.
Okay.
Why come the news don't ever talk about that? They always talk about how the police shoot people, how the police don't shoot for the finger.
Yeah.
Or the leg, and that's always good. Anxious to shoot a black person. I imagine these were black police officer and a black woman.
It was.
Now,
it was.
Why come the news don't put that out there and show the reason why come the police don't do that is because you got a woman that's paralyzed, a police that was paralyzed, and she was trying to be humble and compassionate.
Okay.
And now she's paralyzed the rest of her life.
So like, I would argue, though, St. Louis, that that's, the media is part of the problem as to why we can't have really meaningful discussions, you know what I mean, in neighborhoods and communities, and even with legislators, because the media makes this, it's pit the police against the people, the people against the police, when the real issue is the mental health issue, right, and the fact that there's a breakdown, even with this lady had a long history, her, you know, her family didn't even want to be bothered because her violent tendencies. I mean, it's a sad thing, but there are numerous cases like that around the country, though. That,
and I think some families sacrifice their family members that's like that in order to get a settlement.
I hope not, man. That would really be ugly right there.
I bet you it happened. If you got them to sell their kids into these explicit activities,
Hmm.
Well, that's one more.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know that happens too. And again, those are things that we could, and I believe if we were as a community, as a nation, we were together and we weren't so pitted against one another for different reasons, we could probably come up with some resolutions to that. I began by mentioning I was asked previously about why it is we don't have discussions about legislation, you know, locally that can bring about some sort of resolve to that, because, you know, it's mental health is a serious issue, and you can't expect you know, everyday people, they're not clinicians and what have you, that's not what they do, but it is a real thing that everybody needs to be, at least know how to reasonably respond to it so that we can help people even in those states. We're joined by 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. 12, welcome. We're on with Pastor Waller with 3072 in St. Louis. Welcome to our discussion. It's open mic night. We still got a...
Thank you. How's everybody doing?
Great. Hey, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Thank you.
Good. We still got about 35 minutes or so before we conclude for the night. And any other discussion at 12? What's on your mind? What's going on in Peoria? Anything you want to?
I don't know. I'm really not out there like that. I couldn't even tell you too much. I try to stick to myself these days and focus on what I need to do to take care of me.
Well, that's important. That's important.
Yes.
72, you deal with a lot of patients and what have you. How are they treating you in Jacksonville, Florida? Are they getting any better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like 81 was saying, taking care of herself. So I think once you get grounded in that, that makes you just stronger and more resistant, you know,
sure,
to the craziness. So, yeah.
It's a silly question for me to ask Pastor Waller, because I see him all over the place. Well, he has. He's ubiquitous. But, no, he's been you know, Lord has blessed me to really be active, engaged out there, and had an opportunity to hear a few people offer some testimony on the street. And look, Pastor,
okay.
ironically, this is where COVID has forced us to where some churches are struggling to get people to come back in the building. And they seem to be very receptive to what you're doing out on the street now. How about that, Pastor Wallace? Why don't you comment about that for a second? Comment about that just for a second.
Well, Pastor Doctor, I thank God for him making me aware of things like what the word says. So I didn't wait until that situation came a couple of years ago
right.
to get out there. I've been doing it even when that was not going on. I was still out there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I don't speak for no excuse and things like that. Like a lot of people maybe that think it's not necessary, but I've seen it in the word. You know,
mm-hmm.
81:12, and I tell you, 30:72. I'm not saying it because I want to see it. I'm just saying it because I seen it in there. You know, it was in there.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Go out into the world
mm-hmm.
and preach the gospel." That's what it said. So
and that's the good thing.
I'm
so you already doing it. You're not doing nothing new or extra, huh?
Mm-mm.
No. I'm just going out there to do what it says because I'm afraid not to do it. See, Pastor
mm-hmm.
Doctor, I'm more afraid of not doing it than I am
Uh-oh.
Doing it.
Uh-oh.
Because,
Uh-oh.
You know, I know what compassion is all about. If someone, you know, was familiar with the knowledge of what can help me change my life and don't come out there, I think it's a disrespect. So I'm out there amongst all the things that's going on, good,
mm-hmm.
killing, shooting, lying, robbing, stealing, and killing, no matter what it is out there. I'm not there, so I don't have an excuse. And I cannot run from the truth. The truth is that it's in the book. It says it. And it's talking
mm-hmm.
to the people that go inside those buildings. And when they pop it open, maybe they haven't seen it yet. I don't know. It's a possibility. I'm not saying that they have seen it. But I seen it, and it was real clear. And I had to look at it again. I say, I'm not very intelligent and smart or anything, but I do know the word says go out into the world.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
And that means it didn't say stay inside of a building. It says go out. And so that, you know, is something and I'm appreciative and grateful to know that it is being recognized. But the only motive is that maybe there's someone out there desire to change their life. You heard some testimonies. I think it was some people that was listening from afar, you know,
yeah.
that didn't even come over the corner. But the next thing you know, all of a sudden they eased on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed by it, and I continue to be amazed on how God is moving and is making a difference. Maybe some of them will come out of the buildings, you know, eventually. Like I said,
yeah.
they don't have to come out there where I'm at. They just need to come out of the building. Just come out. Wherever the church is located, whatever side of town it is, just come out of the building. And you never know, there may be someone that can have a heart to change, and that's what's going on, man.
Well, here's the thing, Pastor. There's something on. There's, Pastor. Here's the thing. There's something on people's mind, right? And if even the traditional church, and I'm not slamming the church, I don't want to give that impression, but the way we've been doing things are not working because it's okay to speak to people that's been in there all their life, right?
Yeah.
That's gone some. What about those people that got some on their mind? And looking for a word or an answer or motivation, encouragement, right? If you don't go to them, then you lose
right.
an opportunity. And that's what this whole situation seemed to have created is the right ingredients for that type of engagement to happen now. And I wonder if some of my preacher friends will at least modify their worship experience to do a little bit more of what I see you doing. On a daily basis. I'm not saying they have to compete.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that for anyone to compete, but it looks
right.
like to me
right.
there are a lot of people that were quite responsive.
That's
I
great.
Think
That's
I
great.
Saw one
great
lady talk about how she was addicted for years, and now she found a new way of, you know what I mean? So, I mean.
Yeah,
they,
man. Yeah.
She
did. She stopped by, man, and let it be known, and I think that was great. Stopped in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
you know, and hey, man, you know, I guess that the coast was clear and they made it known if somebody gonna stop behind her, she realized that the red light was there and she had enough time to ask that question. And sure enough, man, it's just a great thing overall, you know,
sure.
to know that. And as I say, it's okay. I welcome people to come out and to be a part of is it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing at all. People out in the world need to know that somebody cares.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't have no compassion. If you don't have no compassion, my goodness. I mean, it's just like the Word of God said, consider yourself being in a situation like that. And you mean tell me you would want somebody to just ride on by?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got all this information. What am I going to do with this information that I have? Keep it to myself? What's going to do me? So that's where it's at.
Well, things are changing. Well, now, so St. Louis, you've pushed this idea of STEM and education and things of that nature. And I know you have I understand you work actively with CAPTA, that with the engineers group there. Do you see anything, some of the outreach? How's that working? Is that, can you see any forward progress there? In the area,
they've had outreach since 1972, I think.
Okay.
You know, I was looking up. I was exposed to a school in Maryland, right outside of D.C.
Okay.
In a community called Columbia Heights, which is majority black. They got a high school there, Banneker, where the graduation rate is like 90-some-odd%.
Wow.
Math proficiency is 88%. Reading proficiency is 94%.
Woo, that's pretty good. That's a good number.
Well, yes, it is. It is good. It's a public school, too.
What do you think? What do you think the thing is? What's behind that success?
That's what one needs to ask. They need to look and see what's going on. It's 99% minority.
Wow.
And
that's a good thing.
Graduation rate 95%. Math 84%. Proficient reading 95%. Top 1% in the state.
Okay.
So one needs to ask, what are these people doing?
Absolutely. But
I'd say one thing that you don't see.
What's that?
Like in Texas, Texas has got about 10 elite black communities or communities that's as high as 88%, 82% black, and as low as, I say, 30%.
Okay.
But you can't get that marriage percentage much over 50%, and more so less than 50%.
Yeah.
When you see those that have the households that have like 66%, 67% of the household married, and you see where things are more stable when it comes down to raising those kids. Low crime.
Okay.
And nice communities.
Yeah.
High income.
Hmm.
Nice communities.
Okay. You know, St. Louis, I just read an article recently about recent stats on the marriage, and it's interesting. That's across racial lines and ethnic lines. Probably the one ethnicity comparatively, and we were looking at white Hispanics and African Americans and blacks, the Hispanics seem to have done better, even better than whites in some cases, in terms of the marriage rate or the traditional family. I thought that was very, very interesting in comparison they did overall.
Well, I've seen Hispanic women pushing baby carriers double decker.
Yeah. So
four kids and a carriage.
Hey, one thing about it is it's welcoming them to see how they take care of their children, they're rearing them, and they looking out for them. But 72, let me ask you a question. 81/12.
Yeah.
We're in 2022. This is March 22nd, third month almost gone. You gonna come march with me, 12.
I have to do it from afar.
I know I can get 72 come go with me. We're gonna sound the trumpet about proactive change in the interest of making things better. Can we do one of those marches? What about 8112? Can we do it?
Sounds like a wonderful thing. I mean, I believe you'll get some a lot of participants.
Well, no, I ain't going if you ain't going 12.
I ain't going to be able to do it. I've worked with you for a minute in a long time.
You ain't
going
to lie to me, 12. You ain't going to lie to me.
Not at all. Not ever, if I can put it in.
No, I say that jokingly, but in reality, people are busy trying to maintain themselves. I think I heard somebody say that earlier, right? And the more you it's not that you're not concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So the greater point here is that it's a collective effort. It takes more than just a handful of people. Now, some people are going to be dedicated. They're going to get with it, and, you know, they're going to even sacrifice themselves. Sound familiar, Pastor Waller? They're going to go without
it. Yes, sir.
they're going to sweat. They're going to cry and groan and moan, but they're going to stay out there on the battlefield. Others will just stand back and say, ooh, look at that. That's a shame. What were they doing?
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Ain't going to put a, you know, but then there are others who are working, and if they could, they would make contributions to causes. And that's their way of contributing and making a difference. You know, I'll say this, though. If you're not sure what to do, it's better to leave people alone than to make their lives worse.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't help them, don't hurt them. You know?
That's right.
I understand that the doctors take an oath to say that they will do no harm. And all that they do, they will make sure they do no harm. So that may be some of the creed that we should all embrace there. And if you're not going to... And sometimes you got to look at the situation, 8112, and say, like you said honestly, you know what? Somebody probably need to do it, but I'm not the best person for it. Is that a fair statement? Well, is that a fair statement?
I didn't say I wouldn't be the best person for it. I said I would have to support you from afar.
Okay.
That's
whatever way you can, right? In whatever way you can.
Yeah, that's
what I said. Okay, all right. Well, 72, what about you? I know you're going to drop your deck and you're going to come follow, ain't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Lord will provide, so I'll be there.
Jesus told his disciples they were looking to go fishing, and he said, boys, we ain't doing that kind of fishing. I'm going to show y'all how to be fishers of men. Yeah, you're going to catch them hard tonight. And the Bible said that when they got through, they had more fish than they both can hold. That's how it go down, though. But there you go.
Now, I don't know, Pastor Docker. It may be like what the disciples told Jesus, told Master, the winds is raging.
They got a little scared.
Man, okay. Well, you going down North Nashville? Okay.
What?
No, don't take me around that Dixon Road area.
Or we went to Penrose over there in St. Louis. We went to Ferguson there. You don't get scared, are you? Hey, these are real places, real people, real needs. And it just kind of dovetails to what we were talking about a little earlier where, you know, a lot of times people don't want to have to, you know, they don't want to step outside themselves because of folk actions. But, you know, somebody needs to do something. Who's going to do it? You know, that's a rhetorical question. Maybe we shouldn't answer that. We just think about it. It's open mic, and we've been leaving the floor open for discussion here. Is there anything else on anyone's mind that they want to shoot out there before we close out in the next 20 minutes here or so?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Has anybody else's property taxes gone up this year? Because I'm like, oh, my God, this housing, that's just like an epidemic or a crisis almost. Like,
well,
just
like everything else, yeah, they have went up. And it's a shame because you barely, if you're not working every day, you barely can afford to pay them twice a year.
Yeah. I woke up to a shock the other day paying my mortgage. Like, it's what now? Yeah, it's just everything is getting so expensive on top of the gas. It's crazy.
And
so what do you do? But try to maintain yourself.
Yeah. You know, your local taxes, that kind of vary by state and municipality, how they manage that and what have you, how they assess and for what. But, yeah, I have to agree with you. But I'll tell you, when they did the last assessment, I was happy about it because my, you know, my value went up there. I have a lot of equity now, a lot more equity.
Well, did that shoot you up, though, with your payments, I'm sure?
It did. It did. It did. But
who said the value went up?
Well, mine did. When I looked at mine, I
yeah, but
mine did, too.
Yeah, but in both of them cases, who's saying that your value went up? Your county assessor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tax.
Yeah.
Tax. County assessor is not county assessor.
Yeah.
They do
and
just
the
to make it so they can get more money out of you. That don't mean that somebody's gonna pay you what they say. Anytime you receive a property tax from a county assessor, you're supposed to look at it and then you're supposed to dispute it and argue it down. Just take it.
Well,
don't you have an equalization board?
Yes, we do.
You got an equalization board. You call them up. You fill out a form and say you want a hearing.
Okay.
Then at the hearing, they're going to ask you, you put on there what you think your property is worth.
I say half
as much as what they say it's worth. Then you go through the neighborhood. If you got vacant houses, you quote vacant houses.
So,
you got holes in the street.
Why do you say, St. Louis, why do you go with half of what it's worth? I'm just curious to know what.
Well, I wouldn't go with a quarter.
Okay.
So I would say go with half of what they say is worth. And then you look and see what houses are selling in that community like yours. Don't let them say, well, we can't find no house exactly like yours, so we're going to go over here to this neighborhood and base your house on theirs. Well, they may have a whole different arrangement.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But now, you know, typically – they look at the comps in your area, and that's what
right.
you make
exactly.
to other houses.
They look at what?
The comp, what they call comps. Other properties that have sold recently or have been valued at a certain amount similar to your house.
But it ain't your property. Do you need do your chimney need tuck port?
Follow what I'm saying, Sandra. And when they look at the comps, what it does is it helps realtors come up with a price point for if you decided you want to sell your property or someone else wanted to buy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now, I take what you're saying that you can challenge the tax assessors. I've heard people do that. In fact, we have here, St. Louis, where if you're 65, you can apply to make sure that yours never is affected and that you're locked where you don't have to pay taxes after 65. Your grandfather's in. So, and not every city have that, but Davidson County does.
Yeah.
Well, then the city should make sure that they do have it. And as I said before, they should make sure that they have consumer protections. Then again, too, you should ask to have, you cite your problems that would affect your house value. Mm-hmm. And you tell them, well, have somebody to come out while I'm here, and I'll point it out to them.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, in my case, I'm okay with the hike because, you know, it depends on what each person is planning. Maybe for someone not looking to move or sell their house. So in my situation, it's a win-win. I just have to pay a little bit more for now. But,
you know,
my plan
18 months ago, Ruben, I was paying $1.55 a gallon for gasoline. When Trump was in office.
Well, we ain't paying that now. That's the doggone shit.
No way.
Thank God he gone.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. The first thing I do is when these charitable people come around, I say, I ain't ask Joe Biden.
Oh.
I ain't got it. Ask Joe Biden, but you don't have it.
It's rough, man.
Because you're paying more for gasoline. You're paying more for food as that what you can find in the stores. I seen a pack of hamburger, about a pound, $11.
I recently spoke with a lady who complained.
People, wait a minute. Since Joe Biden's been in office, you had black males that was working in some occupation,
mm-hmm.
and he eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, he put rules and regulations in place that makes it hard for businesses. So they stopped doing it. Now they out of work. One's
mm-hmm.
on YouTube crying. Mm-hmm. Say he don't know how he's going to pay his car note, and he probably going to miss his mortgage.
Well, that's bad. I mean, that's
now you
that's
got Biden. It wasn't like that when under the other guy that the news media has lied. Everything that they say is coming out. Hunter's laptop was a lie. Russian collusion, a lie.
All right.
You know, St. Louis, time is going to tell a story, isn't it?
It sure does. And you know what? It tells a story for new people, young people, but the old people don't heard the story before. But they don't listen.
Well, you know, what we have to do is keep our eyes and our ears open, don't we? And
that's what you got to do.
And realize that at the end of the day, the wheat gonna be separated from the tares. Yes, it will.
You complain about education, and you know your children need tutoring. You know they need resources, and you know they need technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then along comes an ignoramus and a party that raises the price and eats away from your discretionary income.
Mm-hmm.
That income that's left over after you don't paid all your bills and your house note and everything, now they don't eat that up. What happened to that stimulus? Ate up.
Not a good thing, St. Louis. Not a good thing. Mm. And all you got to do is look. I was going to say that a lady was complaining earlier, or it must have been last week, about how, you know, she got children and small children in the house. She used to be able to go get a gallon of milk. Now she got to get the quarter. The quarter of a
gallon. And put water in that.
Because she can't afford it. I was like, well, man, but yeah, these are real stories. These are real circumstances that people are afraid. And these are current events. And it's interesting. We see a lot of people concerned. I'm one of them about the brutality of the war over there in the East, you know, with Putin attacking Ukraine. But you got to ask yourself, man, goodness, when am I
going to be because somebody stroked Putin's, made Putin inflated and feel like, you know, hey.
Well,
we ain't going to say who done that.
Well, it's a longer story to that.
Okay.
72. And what
I mean, people don't know what the story is because the news lie.
Well,
Putin told the news media, if you lie about our army, we're going to lock you up. So guess what they did? They left. CNN left Russia. Why? Because they know they're going to get locked up for lying.
Well,
when you have a group of Nazis, that's in that country that's shelling and bombing one of the areas where there's a lot of Russian residents, well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to protect your people. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I understand that. Let me say this, Sandor, that and this hadn't been that long ago. Just in 2012, 2014, the U.S. was involved in the instigating of trying to place a certain person in power as president over there in Ukraine.
He's in there now. They got rid of Yanukovych.
Well, and
with
so,
Obama.
And the U.S. Mm-hmm. was involved in that, right? Well, here's the friction with that internationally. Whether you agree, said and stated for a long time that Ukraine was a part of Russian territory, as well as Crimea and other areas, right? And he felt as though the U.S. instigation involvement was cheating him or something, so he had to assert himself. I'm not saying he was right.
Well,
right?
They want to put missiles 400 miles from Moscow. You think that Russia had a right? You think? Well, why come Russia couldn't put missiles in Cuba? During the Bay of Pigs incident.
So the thing is this. There are...
And I'm not arguing, which I'm just bringing it up.
No, that's a good point. Here's the thing. There are a lot of mitigating circumstances that the average person that watches the news. Now, what we see is children in hospitals and homes being bombed and bloodshed and what have you. That bothers anybody. But when you look at the whole story, you realize there's a backstory to it all. You see what I mean? And it brings a sobering discussion and conversation. Here's what I would hate to see.
They showed houses being bombed?
Yes, sir. You hadn't paid attention to it?
They showed the houses being bombed in Donetsk, where the Russian immigrants were since going back to 2016, where they were shooting missiles into those communities? Did you see that?
I don't recall.
You didn't see it?
I don't recall.
Come on, Ruben. You got to be kidding me.
Hold on one second. I don't recall seeing that, but I do recall seeing just recently what has been transpiring in Ukraine. I'm not there, but reportedly those are Russian missiles and ammunition that's coming down on those people.
Well, when Israel lashes out at Palestine, it's usually after what? Mm. After Palestine has shot stud missiles over into Israel, right?
I understand. And
they never show the Scud missiles going over and hitting Israeli settlements.
Yeah.
Killing people, tearing up houses. But then when Israel lashes out back at them like they should do, well, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden Israel is the bad guy.
So here's the thing, Tango. None of it is good. Nobody wins in war but war itself. That's my belief.
Bottom line.
And unfortunately, St. Louis, a lot of these things that are going on and the average person really don't understand what's really behind them and who's behind them. But at the end of the day, what we ought to do is to say to ourselves, listen, some of y'all need to go sit down and be quiet and stop instigating and keeping mess up.
Yep.
Like to keep up here. We keep folks glad to keep up mess right here in the United States. They ain't got nothing.
Just like that basketball. Just like that basketball player, that black female lesbian.
Who wouldn't
stand for the national anthem, wanted to kneel, talking about the United States is no good and all that stuff. Now her butt is over there in jail for dealing with drugs, having drugs on her. Now, guess what? She wanted the United States to come help her. I say let her butt rot in jail over there for the crime she done.
That's my sister, man. Leave her alone.
That's what it has to do with it.
Okay. I got you. Hey, give me about 30 seconds to wrap up.
What do you think about this? She wants the U.S. Embassy. She wants the U.S. State Department to come help her. Well, hell, get Black Lives Matter to come over there and help her.
Hold on, Samuel. The reality is she's still an American citizen. And as such,
she said she was not. When she was kneeling and saying that refused to respect the national anthem, she said she was not.
I hear you. We know she was lying, and we know that she still is an American-born citizen.
That's right. There you go.
Diplomatic rights.
Well, why don't she renounce her citizenship? She grown.
She
don't want to do that, obviously.
I'm not going to speak for her. But let's wrap up. We got 6 minutes. And let's final word right quick, and then we'll go to 72 and 8112 and let Pastor Wallace take us home. Great conversation, guys.
Well, my final word is that woman need to ride in jail for you do the crime, you do the time. You don't go to other countries thinking you in America, the country you say you don't like, you don't respect the national anthem, you kneel when you're supposed to be standing. Well, get your compadres, Black Lives Matter, to come over there and stage a march, burn up some buildings, burn the flag, or whoever you want to do, over there in Russia, and see how long that stuff lasts. And you know, really, the beef for real, if you had done that in Africa, in a Nigeria or a Ghana, you may be dead by now, because they don't play for real.
I hope she learned the lesson. I do hope she learned a lesson from this, St. Louis. I really do.
She won't.
Well, okay. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we appreciate your comment there. 72, what about it?
Just great show and great excitement for the evening. 8112, what's wrong with your phone?
Nothing. I hear you guys.
She chilling. She jumped. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, 8112. She just threw the ball to you. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate you.
I'm blessed to be able to listen to you guys pretty much, and everybody stay blessed and stay safe and well, and love you guys and take care until next time.
I got one thing I want to say to you, 8112, before you go.
Yes, sir.
You know I love you no matter what you do. Okay,
all
I'm
right
done.
Now. Thank you so much. I love you back.
All right. Pastor Waller, take us home, man, before somebody get in trouble here tonight.
Man, I tell you, it's amazing how, you know, the war, you know, you listen to the power of one that may think that certain things should take place. But you remember that song that the Temptation used to sing, war, what is it good for? Absolutely
nothing.
And they had a nerd and say it again, y'all. Amen. Because I'm saying this here because that's what's happening, man. I mean, could you imagine, you know, how in our communities, with all the things going on, see, the trap is that nobody wants us to realize that the war is in our communities, man, one against another.
Yeah.
Well, if we ever learn the power of togetherness,
my God,
then that war would cease, man.
Help
because we got to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, and the pulling down of strongholds. It's just a stronghold. That's all it's here. 37 stronghold. 8112. It's just a stronghold, you know. But we can pull that thing down because the Bible says where there's two or three gathered together in His name, touching and agreeing. That he said he would be in the midst of us. So we need him in the midst of us with all this can on going on. I hear back to you on that note, Pastor Rocky.
Now, go on now. You're preaching now. Go on. Help yourself.
War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
Say it again now.
Yeah, let's straighten it out. We can do it.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. You know, it's a time for us to ask God to order our steps. We're going to end with the mighty clouds of joy. Thank you, guys. You've been wonderful. It was open mic. If it seemed like we were all over the place, that's because we didn't have a structured topic. It was open mic, and we're glad that people shared with us. They said it right when they said, order my steps.
Yes, thank you. All the time, God is